The Spirit of the Lord wants to move and minister to you today. Amen. So I believe that. I believe God is already at work, already moving. I believe sometimes the Lord speaks to me sometimes in old songs that I grew up with. And today, it's just been on my heart all day. Come and dine. Hear the master call. Come and dine. And so, I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. I thought about it, but I'm not going to. Are you hungry?
Yes.
How many would like to have a big old steak right about now? Amen. I want to eat on the meat. Mexican food is all right, but I want some meat. And I'm hungry for the Word of God today. I'm hungry for the Spirit of God to reveal the Word of God so that my life is changed. We're in Ephesians 6. We've been there for a couple of weeks. We're going to be there a couple more. And so I have put the brakes on and slowed down, and you probably have noticed. Because this is, to me, this is really important that you get this. And I have not wanted to rush it. I've wanted just to take our time. And so that you would devour what God wants you to do and to be. I titled this sermon, Armed and Dangerous. Armed and Dangerous. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start reading it about verse 10. But we're really just going to be mostly talking about verse 16 and 17. He says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the methods, our schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, listen, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father God, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would illuminate your Word into our spirits today. God, I pray, Lord, not for an emotional fix, not to get high on anything, but that we would solidly devour your Word, and that the seeds of the Word of God would be planted deep in our hearts so it will evoke a permanent change in us, God. We want to look like you. We want to be changed to the image of the Savior. We want to quit thinking like we used to when we were lost, and start thinking and start using the mind of Christ, which you have given us. So God, I pray today that the Spirit of the Lord would move mightily in this place, that he would take the words of my mouth, and may they turn, Lord, somewhere in the air and become life, Lord. And just plant that word in our hearts that we would receive, Lord. That roots would grow down into our hearts and minds and our lives. That we would be firmly established in you today. Lord, do something mighty in this place. Save the lost. Heal the sick. And those that are comfortable, I pray, God, you'd make them uncomfortable. I pray that we would be awakened to the signs of the time and to what is happening among us and around us. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I quoted this to you last week, but Dwight Moody said this. He said, there's two reasons I believe that there really is the devil. Number one is because the Bible says there's a real devil. And number two is I've done business with him. And so I don't know if you've ever done business with him, but let me tell you, as a businessman, he's a cheater. He will cheat you. Listen to my words. See, Satan will paint you a picture, and it's a masquerade. Satan will tell you how wonderful your life will be if you will follow him. If you'll just do this, life will be great. But he's the master of lies, right? He's a liar and he's the father of all lies. So don't listen to the devil. So this starts off, and it starts off with what Paul really wants you to get. Be strong in the Lord. In other words, be strong in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Have a firm foundation in who you are and the relationship that you have in Christ. Now, that's the line he really wants you to get. And now he's going to go on for about the next 8 verses and tell you how to get there. I like that. Don't just tell me something, but tell me how am I going to get there, right? Why do I need, you know, I ran an organization for years, and I would go to my accountant who audited my books every year, and he would instruct me, and he would always say this: well, there's many ways to keep books. You can do it 1,000 different ways. And I kept saying, I don't want to know 1,000 ways. Just tell me which way you want me to do this. I'm a simple man. And that's the way I look at the Word of God. Lord, I know what you want, but I need help getting from this point to that point. You're going to have to show me, like a third grader, how do I get to these points, God? Where are the stepping stones? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That word strong, we've talked about it so much. It's in dunamo, the word that we would get dynamite from. But the first two letters is E-N, and it's the same in English as I-N. It's that dynamite that Christ plants in a vessel. And you are the vessel. And most Christians think they have no strength and they're just weak and they're just sort of tossed by the wind today. And that's not God's will. God wants you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God wants you to go out and to make a difference in the world. That's why he says, go. Go. Get out of here now. Preach the word. You can do these things in the power of the Lord. And he tells us how to do it. He says, first of all, you're going to come up with some things. You've got an enemy, and he's going to fight you. And he says, stand ye therefore. In other words, don't go running home. Don't turn your back on the one who got you there. You got to keep going and just keep moving forward. Now, I know in church, it's real easy to say, yes, yes. But on Tuesday, when all hell breaks loose, right? When everything goes wrong that could go wrong, what do you want to do? I just don't know where you're at, Jesus. Why have you forsaken me? He has not forsaken you. But boy, doesn't it feel like that sometimes? But we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. We walk by the Word of God. The Word of God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-mm-mm. He's going to be with you in the difficult times. It's easy to live for God when everything's going right. For all 20 minutes. But hell is coming. And it's coming after you. And you're either coming out of a battle or you're headed into a battle. If you think he's going to leave you alone, you're wrong. The devil's got a scheme. The wiles. The word that we get from wiles, the wiles of the devil, is schematic. He has drawn a plan to destroy you. But Jesus has a plan to help you prosper. He calls you a winner. He says that we're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts. He said to withstand, that's the word, anahistamine. Forgive my Greek. It's the word that we get, anahistamine. Blocks the histamine. It's vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, standing face to face against the adversary. You know, most Christians think all they got to do is go to church on Sunday. All I got to do is plant my seat, or plant my, well, my seat in a seat, okay? And just get my 20 minutes and I'm good for a week. Oh my goodness, you're so blind. You're in for a battle. You're going to have to resist. Don't give up. You may not feel like a winner, but he said you are a winner. You know, I feel like the Lord gave me a word earlier today when I was just studying and praying, and the Spirit of the Lord was just there so much. And Brother Kevin come to my door. He said, I couldn't tell if you were praying or sleeping. I said, I wasn't sleeping. You know, many of the people that's in the Hope Center, we're so always so glad to have you. You know, before you got to the Hope Center, you destroyed a lot of bridges. You ruined a lot of family relationships. It's not just them, it's many of us. And the Lord said this to me, and it's word-based. It comes out of Isaiah 58, verse 12. He says, I'm a restorer of the breach. Now, I believe the Lord gave me that specifically for you ladies. I'm a restorer of the breach. In other words, I'll take that which was broken and I'll build it back. I will make it stronger than it ever was before. My spirit, I feel this coming up. We ain't playing games. We're not playing a religious game. You hear me? We're not playing a religious game. He goes on, he says, put on the armor of God. And we begin to study that. And first thing he says is put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth was basically what most commentators feel like. It was five pieces of leather that was woven and braided together. And of course, it was a belt. It went around your waist, held your pants up. They didn't wear pants, but it tightened around your skirt so where you could show your waist. Just, no. All the armor of God would hook into that belt of truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify us according to your word. John 17:17. Also John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the truth. What is the truth that he's talking about? It's the word of God. And everything that we're going to put on is going to be hooked into that. Those five pieces of leather, most people believe that it represents the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's the fivefold ministry that he created to equip you for ministry, right? So it all starts with that belt of truth, which is the word of God. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. So just hang on to that. Number two, he says the breastplate of righteousness hooks into the belt of truth. So this righteousness, this breastplate protects all your vital organs. I told you last week the back is not protected. It's just the front, because somebody else would be fighting on your back. The Roman soldiers would go back to back and they would fight. We don't have a Roman soldier. We have something much better. We have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, right? The Holy Spirit's got your backside. The Holy Spirit's got your back. Your friends will tell you they have your back until hard times come, but the Holy Spirit won't leave you. He's got your back. Righteousness is right standing with God. Most Christians have no concept of this. You don't earn your righteousness, and it's not about you. Isaiah said, my righteousness to God is as filthy rags. We're not standing in our own righteousness. It's his gift to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I've got to read it. I can't quote it. It says, for he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, I love to call this the great exchange. I gave Jesus my sin and he gave me his righteousness. And I can wear that right standing with God. So when God looks down on me, he doesn't see Eric the man. He sees the blood of Jesus covering my... Woo! That's good stuff, right? Hallelujah. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To some of us, peace is not a big deal. To others, peace is a huge deal. And if you ever lose your peace, you'll think you're going crazy. You hear me? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of the Lord lead and guide you, right? That word in the Greek is umpire. Let the peace of God umpire your life. The peace of God will call the balls and strikes. So when you lose your peace, for God's sake, stop. Quit making decisions when you have no peace. That's not the time to make decisions. We need to let the peace of God. So you're thinking, my wife is always asking me this. Did you pray about that? Oh, Jesus. How many times I've had to tell her, nope, I ain't prayed about it at all. But the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The word peace in the New Testament is irene. It conveys the idea that peace prevails. It's a conquering force. The peace of God is conquering in your life. In the Old Testament, it was shalom, and it meant complete. Are you complete? Hollywood will tell you that you need to find someone that completes you. Ugh. Ain't nobody going to complete you except Jesus. Amen? And he does it with his feet. And you need to quit looking for that. Quit looking for a person that's going to bring you something. And you become a person that is complete because Jesus is with you. Amen. Now the shoes, we don't think much about these, but these shoes was made of two pieces. One, I think, leather, and the other was, actually it was two pieces of metal, and they would actually come up your leg so that it would be metal, so it would guard your shin when you was walking through briars and things like that. And so, It was made to protect, but it was also made to stand your ground on rocky soil. Because these shoes had spikes, 1 to 3 inch spikes. You do not want your wife to buy anything like this, I promise you. So if an enemy fell, you could stomp them. You could kill them with your shoes. They call them killer shoes. I think we don't really think about that much. But peace is powerful in our life. God will use peace to lead you, to guide you. So peace is not feeling good about everything, right? See, you can have peace in the worst of times. The storms of life come, and you can still have peace of God. Peace of God, peace with God, right? Peace with God because I am righteous in his sight. And peace of God because he has given me, you remember what Jesus said? I give you my peace. And I say, yes, I'll take it, Jesus. The next thing we see is, he says, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith attaches to the belt of truth. There was two types of shield that the Roman soldiers would carry. One would be large. If you ever watched that movie 300, and remember how they would have these big shields and they would come together, and they literally would lock in with each other's shield. So they would lock together. And they could get down on a knee, and they could bend it like this, and it looked like a turtle. They'd cover themselves. They were made of several layers of leather. And what they would do before a battle, they would go and soak that leather in the river. So it would become extremely heavy. But when the fiery darts began to shoot, and they put that shield up, it would extinguish the fiery dart. But there was a little shield too. The little shield would buckle on their, strap over their arm, and they could use that. They would use it brilliantly. They could use it to knock the arrow or the sword away, right? You would use your hand that you wasn't fighting with. Now the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now listen to me, Christians. Faith is not a wish. Faith is a substance. It's a substance. See, the faith, the shield of faith had to strap into the belt of truth. So then what's my substance? It's the Word of God. It belts into the Word. That's why it's a substance. We pray the Word of God. We have faith that God will honor His Word, right? So I'm not wishing upon a star. I'm praying according to the will of God, according to the Word of God, and I'm standing on His Word. I will not give up. There was two or three different kinds of arrows. One of the arrows that they would shoot at them was like a cane. The enemy, it was a bamboo or something. It was a cane, and they would fill it with explosive material so that when it hit, it would explode on them. Thank God for that shield of faith. You see, the enemy is shooting all the time at you. He is trying to take you out. And he will try one thing right after the other. Let's see if this works. Bam. Let's see if this one works. He will be satisfied if he hits anywhere on your body, but you gotta know where he's headed. He wants this. He wants to hit you in the head. Because if he can hit you in the head, he can confuse your thoughts. Anybody ever been confused before? You need to bind that, because that's not a spirit of God. Right? God didn't cause us to have confusion. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Do you know what you're doing right now? You're hearing the Word of God. What's happening? Faith should be arising. But Pastor, I only get to hear you once a week. Yep, there's other people preaching on the radio all the time. But guess what? It doesn't say it has to be someone else's voice. It can be your voice. Faith comes by hearing when you open the book and start reading it. And you ought to read it out loud. Why? So your eye is not the only thing that sees it. Your ear hears it. Your mind is receiving, and your spirit is growing as the Word of God comes in. Amen. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. I do not know how Jesus could make such a blanket statement, but I believe in what he says. I don't have to understand the word. All I do is accept the word. He says, if my word abides in you, that's a big if. And if you abide in me. Now see, I think most of us today are abiding in him. Now the word abide means to tabernacle. It's, you know, many, many Christians are just visiting. Ooh, that was good, and you missed it. The kingdom of God is not to be visited. It's to be, to plant yourself, right? It's to abide in his presence. You know, the Lord revealed something to me, and it's a little embarrassing, but I think it's worthwhile to say. My kids were here a couple of weeks ago. You remember that? And they're, my kids hadn't been here. Some of them hadn't been here for 7 or 8 years. But when they came, they didn't act like first-time visitors. You know, visitors want to sit in the back, and they're going to try to get in, and they're going to try to get out without you touching them. And after one of our services, they probably think you're a little strange. And I'll testify that they're right. They are strange. We're not trying to be like the world. But I noticed my kids didn't have that awkwardness. They were quite at home here at this church. You know why? Because Dad's in the house. You hear me? Dad was in the house. Why should we think it's strange? Dad was in the house. Dad's pastor in the house. I may not come but every 10 years, but that feels like home to me. You see, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace where you'll receive grace and mercy in your time of need. And most Christians that I know do not come boldly into the throne. They come sheepishly. Why? Because of sin. Because they've messed up, and so they come into the presence of God like, oh God, I know I don't deserve it, God. I know I'm a bad, bad man. And Jesus is like, get your head up. I'm in the house. We can come boldly because Dad's in the house. Isn't that good? When you understand that you are a son of God and that you are not standing in your own righteousness, but you're standing in His righteousness. And when the truth is abiding in you, I've got my belt of truth on. All of a sudden, I go boldly to the throne of grace because Daddy's in the house. Hallelujah. I think that was just really good. Mark 11:24 says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have them and you'll receive them. Remember when He revealed Himself to Mary, He says, all things are possible to God. Oh, come on. You old deadbeat Christian. I know you got problems. I know you're facing things that seem impossible. But when are you going to stand up and tell the devil he's a liar? That God said all things are possible. God, right now, my husband's not saved, but I know you said all things are possible. God, right now, my children won't speak to me, but you said all things are possible. Woo, I just shout for you, all right? I mean, there are things in our life that look impossible, but God's word is true. God says all things are possible. He said all things are possible to Him, but all things are possible to he who believes. And I believe the word of God. I've got my shield of faith up. He says to have the helmet of salvation. The helmet was heavy. It was ornate. It was beautiful. And obviously, you'd wear it on your head. It was a helmet. It was filled with some kind of sponge-like material so it could withstand a hit. Right? Like a football helmet. They build them to withhold stuff. Satan is after your thoughts. The Bible tells us over and over, take captive your thoughts. Philippians 4:8, he says, think on these things. I've met too many Christians that are gutter thinkers. Come on, get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the world. Don't you think like an addict. Because you're not an addict. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you came out of. That is not important. What is important is that your feet are on the rock. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are thoughts that's been there for a long, long time. and you believe them. It's a lie that the enemy planted in your mind years ago that said you was not enough. And God says, oh, yes, you are. Now, who are you going to believe? Oh, I wish that was true. I hope that's true. I hope that you tell the devil to take a hike. I'm not listening to your lies any longer. Look where your lies got me. But now I'm standing on the truth of the Word of God, and He's got me going to a higher plane in Him. Hallelujah. He says, casting down arguments. I love the old King James word here. Casting down imaginations. Anybody got some imaginations going on? You know, Satan likes to get in your imagination. Oh, listen to me. Now, you really need to listen now. See, Satan will plant a thought in your mind. Just one little thought. And you start letting it go wild. See, I'm a product of a divorced home. And Treva and I lived together for, I mean, we were married. I didn't come out right. We were married for several years before we actually had a real fight. You can imagine why that was. Not because of me. But when we had a fight, she thought, oh yeah, that happens. But you know what I thought? This is the beginning of the end. It's over. This is the way it's going to go. See, I know how families look. See, my mom was the eldest daughter of 15 children. And every one of them cycled through. I had uncles that came and uncles that went. I had aunts that came and aunts that went. So I knew. Now, Grandma and Grandpa were married for about 75 years. But it was not without problems. But see, Satan got into my imagination. And I began to imagine, now it's falling apart. And I said that to her. We were laying in bed. And I said, I remember this was on Broad Street. She probably don't remember it. She's probably sleeping, actually. I said, is this the beginning of the end? And she said, what? I said, is this the beginning of the end? She said, no, stupid. She said, it's just a fight. That's the way she talks to me, folks. Sometimes you just need to call it out, don't you? See, in my mind, Satan was working. Are you getting that? See, you will cough hard and think, oh, dear God, I think I have cancer. And Satan will say, yeah, that's exactly right. You do have cancer. Oh, they found a knot on my breast. That's a fear for many women. And I'm so thankful God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. Talked to a lady yesterday. She said she found a knot on her body. And then they discovered a couple more. She went in to get a mastectomy. No, not a mastectomy. What do you call it? Mammogram. She went in to get a mammogram. And yeah, it's a little bit of a difference. I think it was actually maybe a PET scan. And so she told the lady, she said, see, the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, don't accept this. And she said, I don't have cancer, but I want you to do your test because this is going to prove I don't have cancer. And the little lady doing the test said, okay. In other words, oh, you deny it if you want to, but you got cancer. And she said, well, when will I get the results of this test? And she said, you'll know today because we don't want to send you home not knowing. Everything about this lady was telling her, you know, you're going to die. Just a matter of time. Spirit of God kept saying, don't accept it. And she said, well, do your test, but I know I don't have cancer. At the end of that, the little lady comes out and her face is just like dumbfounded. And she said, well, I don't understand this, but you don't have cancer. Listen to me. Let's believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. Amen. Hallelujah. His report is a good word. The devil wants to get in your imagination. I got a feeling right now, even at this Hope Center, these ladies, the devil will probably tell you, oh yeah, you're doing good as long as you live in a house with a bunch of other ladies. But when you get out, you're going to fall. You're going to go right back to the way you used to be. You stomp your foot. Act like this fat pastor. No! I'm not doing it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Are you? I wish that there was a little fight that would come up in us. I don't think God's ever called Christians to be passive. If he did, why'd he give us armor? Well, that was good, wasn't it? Man, that was pretty good. I was just like, whoo, I know when the Holy Ghost talks. 1 Peter 1 says, gird up the loins of your mind. Romans 8 is all about a carnal mind and having a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. The next thing that we read today, he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He tells us what that is. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you got to ask yourself this question. Why is the word of God in there twice? If the belt of truth is the word, why do we need a sword of the Spirit, which is the word? Because there's two kinds of words. Hallelujah. There you have logos, which is the written word of God. And then you have rhema, which is the word of God that he has revealed in your heart. Right? He has made, you know, the Bible says, I'm about to dance out of this place. That the Bible is alive. It is, but when does, as long as that book lays on the shelf, it doesn't do a thing. But when you pick it up and you begin to read it and the Spirit of God, it's the sword of the Spirit. Did you get it? The sword of the Spirit takes the word of God and brings it alive to change your life. I think it was in, I don't know, it's either Luke 4 or Mark 4, one or the other. After Jesus was baptized, it says something like this. Then the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the desert to be tempted of the devil. I'm like, that messes with my theology. Right? The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into a wilderness to be tested of the devil. See, when we go through testing, we ain't saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just love to be tested. We're like, oh, God, another test. Right? How did Jesus overcome? It wasn't logos. It was rhema. It was the, you get that? It was the revealed word. Satan, it is written. Man will not live by bread alone. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. If he overcome by the word of God, how are you going to overcome? By speaking the word of God. The Spirit of God takes the word of God and makes it alive. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that brings me peace. Because there's times, all of us are like this. We're moved by our feelings. But you've got to get past that. You've got to get to where I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by the way I feel. I'm only moved by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Probably going to need some oxygen after the service. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. the word sword. I'm going to mess this Greek word up too. It's dismos, something like that. It means two mouth. Two mouths. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that says when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with a sword in his mouth. And until you get revelation on that one, you're going to think that's the strangest picture I've ever seen in my life. Can you imagine an artist painting Jesus on a horse coming back with a sword sticking out of his mouth? It's not until you realize that sword is his word. And it's a two mouth. See, it's powerful when it comes out of the mouth of God. But it's just as powerful when it comes out of your mouth. Oh, I'm coming down there in a minute. You know why? We have got to speak the word. How can you speak the word if the word is not in you? The Spirit of God cannot bring something that's not already been planted. That was good too. You should have said amen on that. See, you put the word of God so when you need it, when the battle begins to rage, and it will rage, the Spirit of God brings that word out. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me will be refuted, for this is the heritage of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Lord provides everything I need. Hallelujah! He heals all my diseases. I don't know why I get excited. I start talking. I start that high step. Jesus, help me. I embarrass myself. Colossians says he delivers us. Listen to that. He delivers us from the power of darkness. Dale, you almost preached my sermon this morning. You know, he says in Ephesians, he says that light and darkness. At one time he says we walked in darkness. Another time he said this. He said, you didn't walk in darkness, you were the darkness. When you walked in the room got dark. That's a hard thing to hear. But listen to the rest of it. But now you are the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, when you walk into a dark place, all of a sudden the light of God comes in. And if you got your shoes on, peace goes with you. Hallelujah. And here I go again. I'm getting ready to stomp the devil's head is what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Got my shoes of peace. I want to read one more scripture to you and I'll close, I promise. John chapter 16. Jesus is getting ready to go back and he knows he's going back. And he's telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to leave. And his disciples was like, no, you can't leave us. And he says, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper, that's one of like kinds, will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. He says, and when he has come, he will convict this world of sin. See, if you're sitting in this room right now and you've never accepted Jesus, your little heart's going thump, 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 thump. Right? Because the Holy Ghost is all over you. And it's for your good. He says, I want you to get it right. He says he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Because judgment is coming, folks. Maybe sooner than we think. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Did you notice it didn't say because they've messed up and done a lot of bad things? Oh, come on. Tommy, go make some coffee. I'm getting ready to preach the second part of this. He says of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Oh, come on. That's not written to sinners. That's written to us. You need to realize when he went up, He gave us this righteousness. You see, when you get that breastplate of righteousness, it changes the way you pray. You start praying like a son, not like a sinner. I know some of you, I can read your mind. We're always sinners, brother. You identify yourself any old way you want to, but I am not identifying myself as a sinner. I was a sinner saved by grace, but now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away and all things become new. Hallelujah. Because I go to my Father and I'll see you no more of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's the Word of God. For He will not speak on His own authority, but He will speak, and He'll tell you of things to come. The Spirit of God takes the wisdom of God and applies it to the man of God. Whoa, that's good, right? He brings us His wisdom. Isn't it a shame that about half of the body of Christ thinks the Holy Ghost is gone? Well, that stopped in the book of Acts. I won't say that. Are you kidding me? The book of Acts is still being written. You need to form a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Rhema. The way it's Rhema is because the Spirit, you know how the Word of God came, right? The Word of God was breathed. You're going to be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden, you're going to stumble across something, and all of a sudden, there's going to be that little light bulb that goes off in your brain and says, I ain't ever seen that before. You mean to tell me I can do that? Yes, I do. And not me, the Holy Ghost will tell you. Is this not exciting? Golly, then show your faces. Jeremiah said, don't look at them. I need to preach up here. Preach to the ceiling, Pastor. Amen. Stand with me. I tell you, you know, in truth, I could go another hour on this. Listen to me really close. When you get saved, there's a time in your life when nothing really makes sense. And you begin to read the Word of God. And you begin to see things and... And the Spirit of God takes and begins to, I always say this, connect the dots. You remember those pictures where it just had dots and you trace them, you know, second grade? I really never got much past that. So you take and the Spirit of God connects the dots for you. You begin to see how this is going to play out and how it works. But we all start at the foot of the cross. You hear me? We start by saying, Jesus, I believe in You. I confess with all my heart my sin. And I'm telling You, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I need You to forgive me. Come into my heart. Make me a new creation in Christ. And if you've never prayed that, you need to pray that. And you need to tell somebody, hey, I accepted Jesus today. Treva said it earlier. The angels rejoice when one sinner gets saved. And that's fun and that's great. But I don't worry about the angels. I'm worried about you. What do you do when someone gets saved? Man, we need to have a party. We need to just celebrate salvation. Someone told me one time, they said, Pastor, one of these days, the Spirit of God is going to do something great in our church. I said, are you kidding me? I said, do you know 11 people has given their heart to Jesus in the last 2 months? There's no greater miracle than a dead man coming alive. It's the greatest miracle in the world. So if you do not know Jesus, I would just invite you to come and stand. At some point, just come and stand. I promise you this, we will not judge you. We'll celebrate you. But when I studied this and when I thought about this, my mind went to peace. Who's missing peace in the house? Who says, I need peace? Satan's all in my thoughts. Satan is tormenting me. Fear has torment. God's freedom. God wants to deliver you from that. God wants you to walk in His peace. So no matter where your life is at, God wants you to have peace with Him. So if you would say, man, I need peace, I want you to come up also. And I want you to just stand here. We're going to dismiss quickly, but we want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I've never understood how powerful the Word of God is. I didn't understand that it takes the Spirit of God to make it alive in me. So when I read the Word, now listen to this. When I read the Word, I read it like a storybook. I read it like I would a history book. No. You're reading the Word of God wrong if you're reading it like a history book. You see, the Word of God is alive. You read it like a love letter that Jesus sent you. Come on, sister. You missed another one. That was good. He sent you a love letter telling you that you can be free. Hallelujah. And free indeed. That all the troubles of your past, He's the only... Can Humpty Dumpty be put back together again? Only by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I don't care how broken you are. I don't care how broken your past is. I know a man who can. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ can heal the brokenness of your life. Amen. Would somebody get around these ladies and gentlemen? And let's pray the word of faith over them. Hallelujah. Listen to me. He's the restorer of the breach. The broken things in your life, the walls that have broken, the relationships that are, you're thinking in your mind, I'll never repair that relationship again. And maybe my mother, maybe my dad, maybe my siblings, they'll never talk to me again. You don't know what I've done, Pastor. No, you're underestimating the power of God. He says that He is the restorer of the breach. God will restore you, and what the enemy has stolen, God will give it back to you. Matter of fact, the Word of God says 7 times more. Father God, I pray, Lord, right now for those that need to accept You as their Savior. God, I pray, Lord, that as they confess their sins, God, as they cry out and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I am messed up and I need You to put me back together again. And my sister, He says He will. He will submit to God. I pray right now that your ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God is fixing to tell you. You may see yourself as totally broken. But God doesn't see you that way. God sees you as whole and free. Hallelujah. Don't see yourself as an addict any longer. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, let the Spirit of God right now touch my sister with the power of God. Lord, go deep into her heart, Father. Free her in Jesus' name, God. Bring the Spirit of God and set it in her heart. Set her feet upon the rock, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn out all that junk. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we pray for our brother. the mighty man of God. Oh, come on now. The mighty man of God. Raise up in him, Lord Jesus. He is a giant slayer, God. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony that's coming out of him, God. Lord, that he will say, I've been there, I've done that, but I know a Savior who can free you in Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, let him hear the voice of the Lord like he's never heard before. I pray, God, as he studies his word, Lord, that you will bring it alive. Make logos into rhema, God. Bring it alive. Reveal it, Lord, to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the power of God rest on my sisters today. Jesus, they need a touch of you, Lord. They need to know that you are inside of them, that you have put the dynamite in them, God, that they are a vessel of honor, not of dishonor, God. I don't care what they've been. I know who they are in Jesus' name. Father, accept them into the kingdom of God. Oh, put the robe on their back and the ring on their finger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for power. I pray, God, that they walk in forgiveness, God, that you would do mighty things in their life, that you would repair the broken things of their heart. I pray, God, that their children will find forgiveness for them. God, that they will want and love their mamas, God. There'll be a supernatural drawing, God, to these ladies, Lord. All the things that are broken in their life, all of a sudden, God, you'll begin to put them back together. Only you can do that. Lord, I thank you, Lord. There's nothing impossible with you. When you begin a good work, you will complete it in us, God. Lord, we rest in that. We rest in it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil tried to take you out, sister, but he didn't win. You know what that tells me? He's scared of you. See, your destiny has got to be powerful. He couldn't drown you. He can't kill you. He can't do anything. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now, restore. Restore the hopes and the dreams of my sister. God, I know this is tragic and we do not deny that. But Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you're the God in the tragedy. You will walk close to her and you will restore everything to her in Jesus' name. Father, let the power of God dwell in these sisters as they submit themselves to you. I thank you, Lord, that you are wrapping your arms around them, God, today. I just feel so strong, God, that you are just loving these ladies. I'm so thankful, Father. Lord, forgive them of their past, but show them their future. Show them that you have a destiny for them. Hallelujah. Don't believe the lie of the enemy, ladies. He wants to get into your imagination, and he wants to tell you that you're a failure, and that will never change. But that is not what Jesus says. He says, I will cause you to triumph. There's a fragrance of the anointing of God that your smell is even going to change. I know that sounds strange. But your smell will change. It will bring an incense before God's presence so that when you walk into the throne room of grace, God will begin to smile because his daughter's here and she smells like me. It's a sweet sacrifice of worship. Amen. You just know that you know that you know. God says yes. Amen. God says yes. Amen, Brother Dale.
I was thinking as he was sharing that today that Jesus didn't just promise the kingdom, but he brought the kingdom here. And so we can live in that every single day. So raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.